to Del the Curry Band on WFBK's Live Lunch. I think they like you. And they're playing tonight at Headliners. They have a new album called Streets of Baltimore. We're going to talk with Mr. McCurry here in just a moment. WFBK Radio Louisville's Live Lunch series is made possible by listeners like you. And thanks also to the City Cafe with citywide delivery for any event for providing lunch for our members today. Next week on Live Lunch, we have some experimental rock out of Philadelphia. They're called Man Man. And we've been playing them here on FBK. They're going to be playing at Zanzibar next Friday night, and they will be here for Live Lunch. You can go to WFBK.org, see who else is coming in the next couple of weeks, and listen to past programs there as well. Well, it's such a pleasure to have the Del McCurry Band with us today. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Laura. Good to be here. Great folks. You got great
We have great people here in Louisville, yes. For sure. Congratulations on the nomination for Best Bluegrass Album for Streets of Baltimore.
That's Thank you.
Fantastic. That's the Grammy Awards. It's the 56th annual. It's going to be on CBS January 26th. This is your 10th Grammy nomination. Are you all going to be performing on the show?
No, we won't. We just go out there, and it probably won't. It won't be televised because they always do like the bluegrass early in the day, before prime time.
Yeah, all the best stuff. I know they do all the best stuff off camera. I've never understood that.
I know,
but still, it's a great honor and well deserved. Streets of Baltimore is the name of a song that Bobby Bear recorded.
That's right.
Yeah.
It was.
Mm-hmm. And then also it refers to where you kind of got your start.
It does. Yeah, I played there quite a bit, you know, back in I started out with a band called Keith Daniels and the Blue Ridge Ramblers, and that was probably the first time I ever played in Baltimore or Washington, D.C. or, you know, in that area away from home, that was. And then, too, we used to play the Old Dominion Barn Dance, the New Dominion Barn Dance in Richmond, Virginia, which is on Saturday nights with Keith. And also, I played a TV show in Washington, D.C. on Saturday nights called, I forget the name of it, but it was on Channel 5. Mm-hmm. And Don Owens was the one that, he was the promoter there. And there was a band there called the Bluegrass Champs. Anybody know who that is? Don't you? Did you ever hear the Stoneman family? That's who they were then. They were called the Bluegrass Champs. Because they had been on TV, they'd been on the Arthur Godfrey Talent Scout Show. Now, if you're as old as I am, you'll remember that, but if you're not, you won't.
But you can look it up now.
Yeah, you can. But anyway, they were kind of the stars of that TV show there, and we played it a lot. But what I was getting around to, this band in Baltimore, there's a lot of bluegrass bands playing clubs in Baltimore. And probably the best band, I would say, at the time, of course, that remains to be seen, I guess, but Earl Taylor and the Stony Mountain Boys were there. And Earl Taylor and Sam Hutchins had been playing with Jimmy Martin over in Detroit, and so they quit Jimmy Martin when Jimmy Martin went back with Bill Monroe. He went back to play with Bill Monroe again, and they came to Baltimore, and they had a band there, and they were the first band. I told these folks a while ago, they were the first to play Carnegie Hall. But anyway, there's a guy that had been playing guitar with Bill Monroe in the late 50s, and he moved to play that TV show in Washington, D.C., and then they lost the show, so he moved to Baltimore, and he played with Earl Taylor for a while. Then he got his own band, and I started playing banjo with him. That's what I started doing. You know, I played it about 11 years, I guess, and Bill Monroe changed my mind and made me play guitar and sing lead, you know. Although the first show I played with him, what I was getting to, he came to get Jack to play, to go to New York City. Well, they didn't have a banjo player, Bill Monroe didn't, so they took me along, and Bill offered me a job, and I didn't take him up on it because I liked playing with Jack. He was more my age, you know. And I was kind of afraid of that big town, Nashville. Although Baltimore was probably bigger than Nashville, you know, but anyway, that's what. Then after I quit Bill, I played a lot of clubs there, and so, you know, I owe a lot to Baltimore and a DJ named Ray Davis. He used to play bluegrass on the radio. It's back when they called it all hillbilly. They didn't say country music. They didn't say western swing. They didn't say bluegrass. It didn't have a name. It was just all hillbilly music. You know, it was all lumped together.
I had no idea that Baltimore had kind of a bluegrass scene going on. I had no idea about that. Yeah.
It was actually, I thought, bigger than D.C. The gentleman, the country gentleman, they got started in and around D.C., but they did on account of Buzz Busby and the Bayou Boys, who were there first, you know, in D.C., and Buzz Busby was kind of the leader of the band, and Charlie Waller was playing guitar with him, and he got in a car wreck, and they got this young kid named John Duffy to come play mandolin at the club, and they liked that, so then they became famous, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, when was the first time you heard bluegrass? When you heard it and you thought, this is what I want to do?
I probably heard Blue Moon in Kentucky when I was about that big. Mm-hmm. No, I did. I heard my older brother, he's 9 years older than me, and my dad, my father, used to listen to the Grand Ole Opry every Saturday night. And that's without fail, you know. There wasn't no TV then, and so that was all they had, and they listened to... and. My oldest brother, when he got old enough, he went off the farm, got a job. And then he was making big money, you know, and he could buy records. So he was buying all these 78 RPM records, you know. Bill Monroe and Lester Flatt and Earl Scruggs had just started up together, you know. And they had a tune, Roll In My Sweet Baby's Arms. And I played that thing, and I thought it looked like I was going to wear that record out, because the hole got about that big around there.
And that's what you were a big fan of Earl Scruggs too,
I
right?
was, yeah. And so I played banjo, you know, but he taught me to play guitar when I was about 9, my brother did, and so I don't know, I was hearing bluegrass before I even knew what it was, you know, on the Opry and on the radio, you know.
Yeah. You did not do music full-time, though, for a period of time. I understand. You worked in the logging industry?
I did, a long time. I got this job with Bill Monroe, you know, and we was traveling all over the country, and I had a job offer in California playing with a bluegrass band. They had a TV show there in Huntington Park, and they were called the... name slipped my mind.
Not the Dixie.
Golden State Boys. Yeah, there you go. It's the Golden State, you know. So I quit and got married and moved to California and took a job with that band all in a week.
That's a lot of change.
My wife got homesick. I didn't know what that was like, you know, because I was never homesick. I could lay down here and go to sleep. It didn't bother me a bit. I didn't have to be in somebody's home going to bed, you know. But she did. She really got homesick. And so I had to come back to PA. And that's when... Then we started raising a family, and I knew I had to really buckle down, you know, and get a job that had a steady paycheck, you know, which the music in those days didn't have. And then, of course, all the kids got through school, and we got kind of independent, and we moved back down to Nashville, you know, in 1992.
Is that when your sons were already playing music then?
They were already playing by this time. They'd been playing since they was like this big, too.
Yeah. Was that something that you had encouraged, or they just looked at you?
No, I tried to discourage them all I could.
Is that right?
Because I knew if they go through school, they'd get, you know, they could make a lot of money if they wanted to. Mm-hmm. But they like music, you know, and I couldn't stop them from playing, you know, and wanting to play, because I knew what it was like. It's all I ever wanted to do, too, you know, when I was a kid.
When did you make the decision to make them a part of your band?
Well, you know what? They just kind of sneaked in. They were both young when they came in. Ronnie, I was going with a four-piece band, fiddle, banjo, mandolin, guitar and bass, without a mandolin player at the time. And Ronnie, he'd been playing, you know, at home, and so he started going out on the road with me one summer. Yeah, I should let him tell you a story about this.
Yeah, go ahead.
Tell him about it?
Come on up, Ronnie.
Go ahead and tell him about it.
Ronnie McCurry.
He'd do better than I can.
Hello, Lauren.
Hi.
Well,
Now, this will take a while.
It's all right.
Get comfortable.
Anybody going to need to go to the bathroom? No, it's pretty short. I'd only been playing about 6 months, I think it was, and he put me in the band.
Really?
I wanted to do it, but He didn't reject me.
Was this? Did you ever have to do like an audition for him, like an official kind of thing?
No, I started playing the violin at school at 9, and it didn't take me too long. I played about a year or two, and I kind of got tired of that. I didn't like how slow things moved. You know, you only learned a few, couple songs in a year, you know, and it was kind of boring for me, and I wanted to play something else, and the mandolin and the fiddle are the same fingering, so it's just a difference in a pick and a bow, really.
Right.
So I picked up the mandolin, and he didn't have a mandolin player, so within 6 months, I was in the band just playing rhythm, and he showed me how to start songs, so called a kickoff, you know, kick off a song or take a solo, and boy, I'd be nervous, you know. Right. I remember that very first, I started in May 28th, 1981. And in June, I think, or July, we went to New York City. And the banjo player at the time, his name was Dick Smith. And he would repair banjos and do whatever. He was just really, he was a great player and understanding of how to play and all that, but he brought this kid with him. He said, "Dell, would you mind if this boy would?" He came down here from New York to get his banjo worked on, and he needs a ride back to New York City if we can give it to him. And Dad said, "Sure." And so I was 14, and this kid's name was Bela Fleck.
Oh. Right.
And I guess he was probably 20, maybe, or 19 or something.
Like
I remember that we went to New York, took him there, rode the bus up there. Dad always drove the bus, you know, he drove till just a few years ago. Hmm. And
it was Lincoln Center, wasn't it?
No, we were at it's called the South Street Seaport.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And it was we played music out there on the pier. And he had showed me how to play Bluegrass Breakdown, which was a great tune that Bill Monroe wrote. So I got up there to play it, one of the very few tunes that I could play. And it was a jam at the end, and Bela Fleck was up, and everybody was up playing. And and I started into it, and my pick went floop.
Oh, no.
And
it flew up. Oh, no.
And just, I lost my pick, you know. And I was just looking at it.
Went in the East River.
It was close to the East River, that's for sure. And I was just looking at it, and Dad said, "Well, pick it up." But that was a long time ago now.
That's great. It happens to the best of
us. Yeah, happens to best of you.
And then Rob came along, you know.
Rob McCurry on banjo, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Rob McCurry on banjo is what we just said. Well, you guys are just fantastic. We're so thrilled to have you here today, and we want to hear some more music, of course. And Streets of Baltimore is the name of the new album from the Del McCurry Band. Let's welcome them once again to FBK's Live Lunch.
Well, you know, there's a tune. I forget the gentleman's name that recorded this first, but. It's titled Misty. You ever hear that tune, Misty? Did you? I always liked that song. Who was that comic that recorded it?
Ray
Stevens. He's popular for comedy records, you know, but he's a great singer, and he recorded it. Yeah, Don't Look Ethel and all those, you know.
Squirrel.
Mississippi Squirrel, yes. That was a great one. But I hope I can do this for you, and it's entitled Misty.